Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Keith over here, and this is going to be Young Entrepreneur Radio. And I'm going to turn it over to your host, Mr. Thomas Booker. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be back in the seat. It's been a while.
I know, which means I don't have to talk. So this is a good thing, man. So have at it.
All right. So today we have some amazing guests. We have Brianna Snellgrove, who is the sole proprietor of Social Icon and the accounting executive for Lucid Advertising. We also have Mike Morris, who is the owner of Lucid Advertising. And we also have Tariq Suleiman, who is a young entrepreneur himself and the owner of Solucio. Mm-hmm. So first, I'm going to bring on Brianna. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a wonderful Monday, isn't it?
You know, it's Monday.
Yeah. So tell us a little about Social Icon and what it is.
Well, Social Icon is it's a consulting business, but I found that, I started as an entrepreneur early on, and, you know, I started in print media to start with, and then I realized that digital was really where everything was going. And so I started Social Icon, and, it's been going on for about 2 years. I had some really great clients, and then I found that I couldn't do everything by myself. And more importantly, I had a baby on New Year's Eve. And so time has been very sparse.
A New Year's Eve baby?
Tax return baby.
I don't think I've ever met anybody who's had a New Year's Eve baby.
Yeah, so the fireworks will be for her for the rest of her life. I met Mike. Fortunately, and was able to work with him, and now I work solely with Lucid Advertising. So Social Icon was definitely a huge leap for me to work by myself, and but I've really found a comfortable place working with this team, and it's been really wonderful.
That's excellent. So what gave you the idea before with Social Icon before it kind of merged and kind of unraveled with?
Well, if you look at other markets outside of Pensacola, you'll notice that social media and digital marketing is a huge factor for a lot of businesses. And, there are several opportunities to reach businesses through those types of media. And there wasn't a whole lot of people doing that here. And I actually found Mike through a client who fell in love with this similar client in his industry that had wonderful social media. So I did some research, and it turns out that Lucid was the one that, you know, was managing their social media, and they're doing a really great job. And so I think, to answer your question, digital is where everything is going. I mean, obviously there's a lot of success in some traditional advertising, but social media, website development, your SEO, SEM, all those things are really important for businesses to be successful.
Right. And so who are you currently marketing to? Because you're talking about markets for the digital age, which is really important now, since I haven't seen anybody recently going out and passing out flyers or anything like that. So tell me a little bit about that.
Everyone needs digital marketing.
That's a good answer.
Everyone. Answer. It's, the power of Google, really. When you look for something, you look for somewhere to eat, or you look for someone to cut your lawn, you look for someone to build your house, where's the first place you look?
Online.
I don't
flip through a phone book anymore.
So that's really important, is to have that digital presence, because a lot of times, that comes through is how professional your business is. Do you have a website? Does it really reflect what your business is? Are you targeting the right market? So there's a lot of important factors in that, but, digital marketing is important for every business.
Right. And I realize that in my own business, how going from transitioning from word of mouth and handing out brochures and business cards and just saying, hey, who am I and what I do, it's really had an impact, because a lot of people can now see what you're doing and they have more insight and an objective of what you're doing also. And so just to touch on a couple of things, we know that you've done the Social Icon, but you also worked with Young Entrepreneurs Academy as well. So tell us what your role was in that.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I love the YEA Academy, or Young Entrepreneurs Academy. It's really a cool program for, kids who are really looking to start their own business. And, there's not a lot of outreach on that. And this is such a cool program for that. I met with Terry and Aaron Ramos and Randy Ramos, and, GBSI has it at their facilities. Right. And, it was such a cool dynamic being a mentor for that, building a brand new business plan for someone. And so the first year I did it, I was as a mentor for, you know, one person. And this past year, I got to do logos for several of the companies that they were doing, and, you know, worked with them on consulting for social media and for website. And it's been a really, really interesting program for me to be involved in. I definitely am a huge supporter.
Right. I didn't realize how amazing it was until I went from transitioning from being a participant to an actual someone who can help you, because being a mentor and, you know, you're helping a kid do their business plan all over again, it's rough. It really is. I didn't see how hard it was for me.
Sort of rip your heart out, kind of rough.
Yeah. Because, you know, they put something and it's like, man, it's an amazing idea. You know, it's something I had. And it's other times it's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? You know?
Right.
So it's a whole different experience. And I encourage those who are looking forward to doing it or forward to participating in it, whether being a mentor or speaker, just to go out and experience it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, they spend a lot of time with you, teaching you how to build it from the ins and out. And they pair you with really incredible mentors, you know, throughout the community. And, you know, I think what was really neat for me is that they, you know, from A to Z, you know, if you're going to build a business, you have to do your budget and your, you know, your supplies, and you know, really get down to the nitty gritty of what you're going to have to include for a business. And, right. You know, 'cause it's not a walk in the park. Mike can tell you, we've started a business, and, you know, I was told once upon a time that it was like getting married, and I've been married once and I love my husband, but having a wedding and planning a marriage is, it's stressful. Yeah, you know, you gotta start all over again, you know? So
what are you planning to invest on, like, in the future with your company?
Oh gosh. So I was just telling Mike today, we were talking over lunch at Jocko's today that, you know, there have been several places that I've worked before, and, you know, digital marketing is, in marketing in general, is kind of where my heart is. And I think the base of that is customer relationships. You know, those, you build those relationships, and Lucid, they've kind of built their, you know, rapport on, you know, those open lines of communication. We become an extension of your business as a marketing department. You know, it's not a, you know, write a check and we build your website and have a good, you know, have a good day and good luck. You know, we really spend a lot of time making sure that you're investing instead of purchasing something from us. So, you know, I think the goal for us is to really help businesses grow, you know, here and in some extending markets, you know, across the Gulf Coast. And, you know, so I'm really looking forward to working with them on sales and continue to build relationships with companies throughout Pensacola and the Gulf Coast.
Right, because I think you hit on an important note that relationships are not built off of numbers and not built off of, you know, how much have we sold. They're not built off of statistics. They're built off of heart and face-to-face communication and, you know, simply just chatting. And rather than thinking about, oh, yeah, we're going to sell this to you for X amount of dollars, you know, have a good day, goodbye. It's more than that. It's an ongoing process, something you have to work on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. And if you're someone who's purchased a website before, or digital marketing, and you've dealt with the elusive web guy, that's usually the,
the dude you can never get a hold of.
Yeah, we've had a web guy once, and, you know, we have a website, but we can't find it, or, you know, so there's always that uphill battle. But, you know that there are agencies out there that really care about growing your business. And, you know, everyone needs a website. And I know it sounds like a painful process, but we try to make that as minimal as possible. So,
well, I'm looking for a website right now, so I'll definitely be in touch with you guys. And hopefully it's not a painful process, but I'm sure it won't be. But thank you so much. And how can people get in touch with you and talk to you about your business or setting up a website or simply just chatting?
Well, Lucid just launched their new site. It's lucidadvertising.com. And you're welcome to actually compare your site with other competitors in the area. So you just enter in your website into lucidadvertising.com. And we actually use a team to compare your website and rank it against your competitors and send you, you know, a full report. And you could email me, Brianna, Briana, at lucidadvertising.com. And I'd be happy to talk with you about it.
Do you have a name your own price tool too?
We're getting there.
Yeah, you're getting there? That's awesome. No, that's cool, man, because a lot of times you don't know. I mean, there's so many companies out here that claim to do this kind of stuff, and I don't know anyone. Of course, I haven't gone website shopping in, I don't know, 6 months, but but I don't know anybody that openly says, hey, let's compare you to the other companies and the other things that are going on around here.
Absolutely. And it really is an investment. You know, that's what we kind of try to push across is, you know, we don't want you to spend a bunch of money mm-hmm. to be caught, you know, out without a bunch of money. You know, right. We strategically make sure that if you're going to invest this, you know, we do it out in phases and, you know, stage that out for you, making sure it's the best decision possible.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't take every client. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense for someone to use our services because, you know, they're not large enough or they're not the right client or, you know, so, you know, we make sure we're really, really honest and upfront about that.
All right. So thank you so much for spending your time here with us at Pensacola Business Radio X. We're going to leave your mic open for our later roundtable discussion. So I really do thank you for coming in and sharing what your business is about.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And now we have Mike Morris, who is the owner of Lucid Advertising. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Right. So expand on a little bit more of what Brianna said about what your company is.
Yeah, we're really a full-service advertising agency and built on digital marketing. I'd say that's in the past like 3 or 4 years, we've really focused on that. And Lucid's, I guess my mantra is measured results or return on investment. So if you spend money, how are you going to make that money back, that money and a profit? So all of our analysis is built on that. It's not built on, like she said, I don't want to sell you business cards. I don't want to sell you, you know, letterhead or even a website or a TV spot. I want to work with you and I want to know that in 6 months from now, I want to know that sales have increased. In a year from now, I want to know if sales have increased and what are our target goals. And it's really a long-term relationship. So if we're not asking the right questions up front, it's going to be a doomed marriage.
There's no amount of planning that can fix that, can there?
No.
And so, and then, like you said, that is important because, like you said, you don't want to just sell paper pencil. You want to sell relationships. I know when a person calls me and asks for, you know, hey, can I get 6 cupcakes? Yeah, 6 cupcakes, but where are they going to go from here? I want to know that people love them 3 or 4 months down the road. I want to know that people that you've gotten in touch with through using my product have contacted me back. And so that's why we sit down. Well, I don't want to sit down, but that's why when you call, you're on the phone for an hour because we'll make sure that everything's right. You know, it may be a dreaded process for some, but, you know, this is how we do it. This is how it's going to make the product 100%. Rather than it being 50 or no percent at all.
Yeah, and that's how new flavors are developed. So
that's it. Exactly. And Baskin Robbins didn't have to stop at 31.
Right.
They didn't have to.
So tell us a little bit about your backstory on how you kind of found Lucid and how does that work out for you?
Yeah, so I had the chance, I guess 10 years ago in February, we've been around 10 years now, I had a chance to go off and be a graphic designer. And I was thinking I'll go design really great creative pieces and I'd help these small businesses and it'd be great. What I found is that I was designing things like back then it was a lot of print. So it was brochures and stuff or even print ads and they might run once and the brochures, they wouldn't even print. When I came to realize these small business owners, they're either, you know, they're pharmacists, they're physicians, they're home builders that they don't know what to do with the product. So, so I quickly started saying, hey, let me go get this printed for you and make sure that it's the colors correct and all of that. You know, let me help you place this ad and we can run it more than once. So I started realizing there's a real need in Pensacola for small business owners to have access to an advertising agency. So as an individual, instead of just being a freelancer, I was really doing all of it from media planning and negotiation all the way through production and then making sure that things ran correctly. So I got fortunate with a few original clients that really let me help them. And based on success, that's sort of growing. And we slowly, I would say about 3 or 4 years ago, we got into digital marketing. And that's where... I'd say we really shine. That's where I really started seeing results. A lot of other TV billboards, a lot of those will be short-lived sessions, maybe 3 months or a six-month campaign. A lot of times clients want to take a break. And the reason they take a break is that it's not something that is more like direct marketing. So
it's hard to track too.
It's very hard to track. If you don't track your phone numbers and everything, yeah. And even if people just show up, you know, what is that return on investment? So websites are really... it's a really easy way, in my opinion, to track. It's either working or it's not.
Right.
So at any rate, so they, the the thing that I love about what Lucid has become now, there's, I think, six of us up there now. We have some, I'd say, freelance or 1099 employees that we work with as well. And it's that everybody gets that. Everything that we do, you know, from a client perspective, the one thing that new employees get when they first come on with us is, don't ask me what the client wants. The client wants more sales. The client wants success. The client wants us to, you know, come up to the table and be responsible. That's what they want. So usually it takes anybody new at Lucid, it takes them, I would say, 3 to 6 months to get that. And after 3 to 6 months.
Really? Even after you've spelled it out, huh? You know, it's a complete different way of thinking though, isn't it?
It really is. It's not a drive-through order system.
You know? Yeah.
So, even, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, sometimes a client will say, hey, this is what I really want. And it might be beneficial to Lucid if they would let us do it for them, but if it's not in their best interest, I'm going to talk them out of it. So,
I'm going to jump in here on you. Walk me through the process of coming on board with your agency. How does that look for a small business owner, say a 1 or 2 employee company that doesn't have thousands of dollars a year?
Yeah, so I just left the meeting and
with that exact scenario, huh? Imagine that.
She just asked me that. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to send you an intake form. It's going to be a lot of questions about your brand, who you are, how you perceive yourself, how you think that your current clients or current customers perceive you, or mm-hmm. how you want them to perceive you. So there's a lot of questions like that to let us really get to know you. Because sometimes you'll say things that, you know, maybe you want to believe, or maybe you want us to hear. But if I ask you that question enough times in different ways, mm-hmm. we'll really get to the bottom of it, really the truth. And really find out what is this messaging, or what are we really trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
You know, we want to talk sales numbers. I want to know what's your most profitable service, what's your least profitable service. And it's amazing how many people want to increase low profitable service lines because it's volume, when we should be focusing on highly profitable. So that intake form and that relationship is usually like the first month, is really getting to know each other. And, you know, that's going to be a continuing process. But before we do anything, I don't think that I've ever gone to a meeting and taken an order from a client first meeting or even second meeting.
Yeah.
So that's I would say that's a month of get to know you before we bring you on. And even let's say that somebody came on digital marketing. That's a month worth of research just to get you started. It could end up being 6 weeks total before we've even designed anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that's really the process.
Yeah. So is it affordable for small business owners, what you guys do? Can you tailor it to make it affordable? I mean, obviously you can't come out of the gate swinging with, you know, a $90,000 a year package, but you know, it's important as a small business owner to hit the ground running. Right.
Right. Exactly. So our digital marketing package, is really built, I would say, for, probably existing businesses or successful businesses already. You probably have more than 1 or 2 employees if you're really going to come into that program. The programs that we have that we built for maybe a smaller company, someone coming right out of the gates, I probably have to look at what is the budget you want to invest, and then where are we going to invest that? So let's just say someone said, hey, I have $1,000 a month to spend. Mm-hmm. Where would I spend it? Right away, I would want to look at, you know, should we be considering paid social? Should we be considering paid Google ads? Maybe we should be investing in a sales kit.
Yeah.
We have a client right now that we're suggesting that straight off before he does anything. He needs to get a sales kit because he's going to sell to distributors. So before he does anything, he needs to do that. It could even be, hey, you know what? You need to go join the, you know, Pensacola Chamber. You need to go join the Gulf Breeze Chamber, depending on where your business is.
Right.
Maybe that's the best way to invest that money. So yeah, I would say that any size business can work with us. It's our recommendation would be built on the budget and basically grow sales. There's a basic formula. You know, if you're in
wait, no formula is ever basic. Let's fix that right now.
Good point. Yeah. X plus Y does not always easy.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But you know, a percentage of your gross revenue, what should you be investing in marketing?
Mm-hmm.
And those are pretty easy answers depending on industry. So, and if you're brand new business, that's the biggest thing that I see when people start businesses, that they don't have a marketing budget at all.
Yeah.
And what their hope is that they're just kind of get things going, and then anything extra, I'll just kind of throw at that. But there's a real easy, like I said, there is an easy formula that you can actually put into your budget plan and say, okay, this has to be a part of, you know, the loan we're going to get from the bank to start this business.
Right.
I would say Lucid, we probably made that mistake early on. I didn't have a salesperson, and yeah, we absolutely need one. So thank goodness Bree's here now.
Yeah, he's smart. If you can't beat him, join him, right? Or just fold him into the company. That's how it works. Right. Yeah, are you taking notes over here, man? You need to take notes.
Yeah, I think that's what's really awesome about Lucid too, is that, you know, like Mike was saying, it's, you know, if someone says, I have $1,000, but I need to make sure that, you know, I'm marketing my business somehow.
Yeah.
You know, look, we're not going to be able to build you a full e-commerce site for $1,000. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
You know, but there are ways to help your business with your brand, you know, to kind of try other, you know, fields, whether it be mm-hmm. social media or, you know, like you said, pay Google ads. Some traditional advertising is not off the table either. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes TV works for businesses. It just depends on the industry.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and you said networking too, which I think is huge. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it pays to put your feet to the pavement and just go knock on some doors.
Right. Yeah. When you're first starting your business, that's word of mouth and referral and mm-hmm. getting to know people. That's without question number one thing.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's important what you said earlier about how you're just laying everything out on the table for them and giving them all their options rather than hiding the least expensive yet most effective options, and then you're just going for the all out expensive, you know, bell and whistle package, you know. Because when I'm talking to customers, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, you know, you can get, you know, 40 cupcakes at $3 a piece for $120, knowing that their clientele is 4-year-old kids that can eat, you know, a mini cupcake for 75 cents.
Why sell four when you can sell 400?
Right.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's one of those big things, you know, is looking at it, would you rather have $100,000 in a month or rather your penny double each time every day?
So, yeah.
And it's one of those things. And what have been your difficulties while running your business, like things you had to overcome?
Yeah, I'd say the thing for me was probably understanding that small business owners needed that help. That was probably the biggest thing. So even Lucid Graphic, when I started it, Lucid Graphic was built, I just wanted to be a graphic designer. So we even had to change our name to Lucid Advertising because we're an agency now. And then selling, that was, I'm a creative, so
that's not my, I'm with you.
Not my forte.
Yeah.
So I had to learn, and it's what's amazing. It's in anything, I think sales is the same way, as treating people the way you want to be treated. And honesty for me is the number one thing. So I'd say those have been my two challenges.
Man, I mean, some things I can relate to is just, like you said, being honest and having that one-on-one connection, because you never know when that is most important, you know, having integrity, doing things when nobody's looking around, you know. So you can be talking to one person, but yeah, that can affect two people who are around that know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I said, be honest with it, lay it all on the table. And just, like you said, just be honest. But
what happens to the people that don't like what you hear? Because you're in a position to really lay some, I mean, you know, you're digesting the business, you're digesting some of their goals. And sometimes you got to be very honest with them. What's been one of your best stories, if you can, of what happened? Did it turn into a success? Did it end up being a failure? Was it we didn't work with them? Or,
you know, I probably have two stories. I'd even say a failure, in a way, or not a failure, but a lost client for us. You know, we told her that the people answering her phones weren't doing the job. We did some, you know, test calls for mm-hmm. her to. And recorded them to show, and it just didn't go as well. I thought it would go great because being that honest to show right. this is what's happening.
Yeah,
she didn't like that at all, you know. And she,
yeah,
my people aren't, you know,
honesty hurts sometimes.
Yeah,
right,
it does,
right. So,
but it's your best friend in the business world. It really is.
Yeah,
absolutely. You should be taking notes, man. I got pen and paper right here.
I'd say my biggest success story, though, is one of my first clients, and. That's when I really started learning how a good business owner is built. And he's extremely successful. When I first met him, he was, you know, just starting his business, and it's over the top successful now. But at the time, you know, I would present things. He'd say, okay. And he never gave me pushback. So finally I asked him, I'm like, what, you know, why don't you never give me pushback? Everyone else always gives me pushback. But you never give it to me. And he said, because if what you recommend fails, I'm going to fire you.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty simple, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I said, somebody told me something along those lines once. It was, you want to know how successful or how well you're going to be. Don't get your friends to read your business plan. Get your life insurance broker. because that's one of the hardest things, right? They go through the whole blood test. Like, you've got to be full on scanned before you get insured. So right. He used that same analogy when trying to look through business plans and think, you think your idea is good or you think somebody wants to bag it, ask your life insurance agent. They'll tell you real quick. So,
I mean, being hit with the word no, or, you know, this is,
it's all growth, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it hurts, but sometimes you take their advice, sometimes you rebel against it, and turns out to be a great idea.
What do you think has been your biggest failure? Well, you got to think about it. All right. That's a good sign. I mean,
he doesn't have as many years.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's only been 2.5. So,
yeah.
You are yet a wee one, Thomas. Yeah.
I think what my biggest failure was not paying attention to my mother.
Yeah.
Because when it came down to having business meetings, you know, you're thinking, well, who are you meeting with? I'm meeting with my mom.
Right.
You know, most influential person in my life.
Sure.
So when we're talking about, she's like, yo, you need to do this, or you need to do this. You need to go out here. You need to do this.
I'm sure she said it just like that, too, didn't she?
But she's like, yeah, you need to go out. You need to start passing out business cards. Or, hey, you need to start dropping off cupcakes at random business places, just saying, hey, describe what you're doing and then leave. I was like, yeah, no, I'll just stick to what I'm doing. Or I'll wait till next weekend. Or, nah, I think I'm going to do something else today. It had an effect. It was neutral, but it could have turned into a positive effect.
Right. You know?
But now that I'm actually not being stubborn anymore, because sometimes people are stubborn, I've seen that we start working with a couple of restaurants. Now we're working with The Vault downtown Pensacola. We're working with Arlene's Barbecue. We're now looking at places to set up for a storefront and things of that nature. So all in all, could this happen earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your biggest failure might also be your biggest success.
Right. But, you know, sometimes...
Thanks, Mom. Yeah,
but, yeah, sometimes it's okay to wait. Sometimes it's need to be done now. And I think in that case, it could happen earlier, yeah. But was it the right time? Maybe not.
Well, you don't know because you didn't do it. Or, the good thing is, though, is that you obviously see the difference, which means you learn, which I think is one of the biggest things that all business owners have to do. You have to be able to analyze your failures and your successes, and then you have to acknowledge the fact that, one, you're probably responsible for it, and
absolutely,
and change it,
right?
So, which you did,
right? And there's other times where you can't be blamed. I'll never forget this story. I made a dress out of a cupcake dress. It had about 50 cupcakes on it. We took pictures because it was a new client who potentially had a lot more business coming our way. So we took pictures. I sent her, you know, through the whole process from when we started filling them to the decorating part, saying, is this okay? This is what you want? Yeah. It's fine. 100%. Go. Way to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get down to the venue. Oh, I don't like it. Well, first thing is my mind is like, we sent you everything that,
right,
step by step. There was any point in time you could have told us to stop, you know, do a different color, do this, do that, put that over there, you know, whatever. So we asked, what's not right about it? Well, I want black flowers instead of pink flowers. And that was okay at that time because the flowers were artificial. You know, they were.
Because you had black flowers. So it was okay.
Right. No, well, we didn't have that. So we had to go back across town to go purchase these artificial, like, it was like little top flowers you can put on top of the cupcake. Mm-hmm. So we went back across town to go purchase them. And then we went back across town again to go back to the venue. Oh, I don't like them again. Let me get a discount. No. That's not right. You know, and you think to yourself, you know, oh my gosh, this is my fault. When all in all, it's not your fault. And sometimes that's something that we punish ourselves, that when we do something and it's not our fault, we tried our best and it's something that they were trying to get in return for a discount or for free. Sometimes you have to look at it and say, you know, it's not my fault. There's nothing I could have done. I tried my best. I tried to tailored to your needs and your ideas. Mm-hmm. That's something you just can't do. Have you ever had an experience where something similar to that, where
the customer isn't always right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. So there's always going to be one of those clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they exist. You're right. Mm-hmm. There are clients that you just cannot make happy. I mean, that's just the nature of the business too. You know, you're always going to have somebody that, you can't make happy.
They're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
They're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah, they're entitled to their opinion.
You know? And then you usually come up with something, you know, to back yourself up the next time, you know, in detail. What are the colors that you want? Are you sure? Do you have photos? You know, so you learn from that experience and you make sure you cover your behind.
It's okay. You could say it.
But
we all know what you meant.
Yeah. So, but piece of advice for moving forward in growth is, you know, one of the things that I always ended up doing when I first started Social Icon was I would find people who are much smarter than me and had been in business a lot longer than I had been and ask them for coffee. I probably went to hundreds of coffees with business analysts or, you know, someone in accounting, something that had nothing to do with my business, but just really asking them questions. And I built a lot of knowledge off of that. And you kind of got a lot of perspective from anyone who would talk to me.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Caffeine. Yeah,
having this simple conversation, you know, it can unveil and reveal a lot about what a lot of people want that you don't do that.
Absolutely.
You eventually find out doing. And I know we probably all had this one customer who doesn't like the idea of what you're doing. So I know you probably experienced it. So you have an experience that you can tell us about that where somebody didn't like what you're doing.
Yeah. A lot of times, especially in logo design, that's kind of the hardest, of all projects, I think, because a lot of times that's an emotional.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. More so than, and I'll be honest with you. My first client, I actually told him, I said, you're so new and you don't have enough sales. Let's create a problem. So let's not spend, you know, his case, you know, we could have done a huge rebrand. I said, let me just do a $250 logo for you. Let's just do that. Create a problem when you get to this much in sales. You know, in his case, it was like, hey, let's get to like 5 million in sales. Let's then worry about your brand. Because for right now, your brand isn't doing anything.
Right.
If you're less than a million in sales, you know? So I would say that I've had clients like that where they were successful and they listen that way. I have other clients that don't want that and they want to spend, you know, $5,000 to rebrand and they're not even an entity yet.
Right.
And there's room for it, I guess, as long as you have the money. If you have enough in your bank account or you have enough from your loan that you want to spend, that's fine. But it's, in my opinion, it'd be the wrong, the wrong investment. So that usually our discussions, I would say that our agreement or disagreement would be involved around that. Devil's in the details and it's a lot about the money. That's where I focus usually. In the creative side, I would say usually we iron things out because when it comes to a logo, I'm pretty open to communication back from the client.
Yeah.
So I can't say that we have ever had I've never had a project like that come to a head where they just said, I absolutely want you to do this thing over here and you want to do something else. Usually you can logic things out. And, you know, from us, from advertising, which even being a creative, it's kind of abnormal, but I'm extremely logical. So, not really emotionally tied. I tell people this all the time. You have to have horrible ideas to have good ideas. And if you don't have good, broad shoulders to hear, that's a bad idea, then probably shouldn't be in the business, you know? So, yeah, I can't say that we've ever had a pinnacle discussion where it came to where they said, you got to do this. And I said, we're going to do something else. It just hasn't gotten there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so there's room for growth.
Exactly. That's an important note to take. Tyreek, you should start taking notes again. but it's really important because you always want suggestions. And me as a person, I'm up to suggestions. You know, you want me to make a different flavor that I thought was absurd and ridiculous, but yet it turned out good, I'll do it. You know, but there comes a time where there's some things I just can't do. For instance, somebody told me, you don't market or you're not considerably unaware of people who have, you know, certain health issues tied to cupcakes. Well, me as a business, I simply just don't cater to them. I told Keith that I don't make shoes for men, nor do I
don't make cupcakes for people.
Yeah, I don't make high heels. Right? I don't make high heel shoes for men, or nor do I make, you know, or nor that I make underwear for women. You know, it's just something I just don't do. Like, it's a target market. It's something that I'm not going to stress myself and worry about having to go out and branch out to other aspects that I don't want to get myself caught up in. Now, me as a person, I do care about them. I do hope that they receive the best treatment, that they're healthy, you know, things of that nature. But as a business, it's just something that I just can't possibly put myself in that kind of situation because it brings out problems. It causes stress, causes financial issues, it could cost us supplies, is becoming wasteful.
Yeah, you weren't set up for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's so important too. You know, I mean, we just recently had a client that, you know, he loves what he does, and, you know, he makes furniture. And so he wants to make every piece under the sun and every color under the sun. And you have to think about you and your business, you know, how are you going to do this effectively and cost effective? And, you know, how do you streamline that the business if you're going to, you know, produce, or you're planning on growing, you know? So, you know, yes, you know, you can take custom colors and custom orders, but, you know, under certain circumstances, yep. You know, and that's your decision to make, you know? So I think that's really important that you identified that.
Well, thank you, Mike, for also spending your time on the show to discuss about Lucid Advertising and what you do. I'll also leave your mic for open discussion. And right now we're going to move on to Tyreek, who is with Solucio. So Tyreek, how are you?
Doing good.
So tell us a little about your business since you're a young entrepreneur.
Well, I haven't really got started yet.
Right.
So this is kind of just a platform for me to grow into starting something else with my business. As my dad, as you probably already know, he's starting with Peso. So he kind of took me under his wing and allowed me to do things with his company for some of his clients that he didn't want to do himself. So
nice. He outsourced. Yeah. Awesome. That's all right. That gives you experience. And you've learned how to outsource things you don't want to do.
And initially, I started doing YouTube a while ago, and that's when I kind of picked up graphic design. And I noticed that within gaming or social media in general, there's a lot of people that are on Twitter and Facebook doing their own marketing, freelance designers and such. And since it kind of tied into what he wanted me to do, I decided to, you know, take my own brand and make it into my graphic design company, which is not only graphic design. I'm also learning how to program, and I want to turn it into basically what you guys are doing, which is finding people that need to get their business started and need the social media branding and stuff, and allowing me to go in and get them the website, you know, their headers, designs, logos, everything they need for that, and making sure that overall they have everything they need from that point on to generate revenue.
Yeah. So how did you get started? Were you forced into the entrepreneur world? Did you have this idea? I mean, tell me about it.
See, kind of. I was kind of forced in. I didn't really, like, for me, I wasn't really into business. So, like I said, the YouTube thing is kind of where I kind of found my passion in. But
then
my
dad's always you can make money, right?
Yeah.
See, that's how it happens, and then you're hooked.
So he's always told me that if you have an idea for something and you want to make money from it, turn it into a business. And so instead of just doing freelance design, you know, making iffy amounts of money, not being sure what my income is going to be, I can turn it into a full-on platform and launch that. So obviously, numbers came up. We started talking about money, how much I can do it from, you know, freelance versus actually running my own marketing company.
Right.
And this also allows me to pick up the friends that I've been working with or other people that I've been talking to and allowing them to bring them in also, because we're all in the end trying to make money.
Right.
And that's kind of where I figured this is what I wanted to do.
So going back to where you were just discovering for your passion for business, what were you doing earlier? Because I know me, on the other hand,
you weren't sitting around making cupcakes all the time, were you?
I wasn't. I was a hardcore gamer, man. Let me tell you. I would spend hours upon hours just staring into a 32-inch television while having a pack of Nutter Butters and some Goldie guys.
See, most people don't know, but gaming is its own competitive field. There is competitive gaming. There's starting to get scholarships for gaming.
Right.
So I was a competitive gamer. And I wasn't generating income at the beginning. But as I got better, we progressed more, got a team together. That's when we started making a little bit of money. And then I tied YouTube into it as well. And since, you know, gaming, you have to have your own brand. Even if you're not with a sponsored team or anything, you want to build your own brand like yourself. So I decided to learn graphic design for me personally in order to build my own brand as a player. And my dad noticed that, which is when he started pitching in and saying, well, why don't you do this as well? And for me, I had to stop playing competitively in order to help other people, because there's a lot of other 14-year-old kids, 13-year-old kids that don't know that there's a lot more to gaming than just playing and being good at it with any sport.
Right.
So I tried to tie it in and make it seem like this is all part of the package. For you to get better and to get known and for people to notice you, you have to have your full brand. They need to know you, you know, what you bring to the table for them. And so that way they both benefit off of, you know, picking you up or giving you their money. So just giving people the whole package and allowing them to easily, you know, get in contact with those bigger people in order to make that money.
Right. Is it working?
Yeah. You know, I had already talked to people before because it was a problem for me. You know, yeah. I didn't have those connections. And it would have been nice if someone would just walk up to me like, here, you know, give me, you know, $50, $60 and I'll go ahead and get you, you know, a logo set up. I'll get your channel and stuff like that monetized. And I've already talked to people that I know are willing to, you know, reach into me and let me do this for them. But there's just so many people out there that don't know about it, you know, as a whole. So I'm not sure if I'm the first person to do this. I've seen other companies that do logo designs, but there's no one offering the full package for people to get started. So, you know, you might have a logo, you might have your full Twitter, your Facebook branded, but if you don't know how to make money from what you're doing with AdSense and, you know, monetizing your YouTube videos mm-hmm. or anything else like that, then even if you're all set up, you're not going to make any money. People are just going to see you, but they're not sure what you're doing, and you're not going to get any revenue from that traffic.
Right. And I find it amazing because, yeah, I was a gamer, but I did not get this far into it. Let me yeah. tell you, I was just...
There's a lot of money in this. I know. There really is.
I know. So explain gaming. I mean, like, when you say gaming, do you mean like...
So like where we were all kids sitting around eating snacks and playing Nintendo, like, now they can get paid to do it.
Yeah.
What? By being really good at it.
I was so baller at Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Like, no. There's Vegas conventions. It's legit.
Yeah.
It's,
so like Call of Duty, is that what we're talking yeah. about?
That's all, one of, that's all one that of the kind major of stuff. Ones.
Matter of fact, yeah. they just had their international... competition about mm-hmm. what, a couple weeks ago.
And then if you're getting into the programming side of it, man, yeah. that's huge.
And that's what
writing
I find,
those kinds of programs. That's what I find interesting. Is that
he took his, you know, his diehard competitive gaming, went behind the scenes and developed his company based off from that. You know, mm-hmm. not too many people. I mean, I didn't turn gaming into
yeah.
my own company. I went from cooking to baking just to now I'm selling desserts. I didn't.
And here you are.
Place,
and you're doing good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, what stage are you at now in your company? Because I know you did go ahead and say that
See,
it wasn't fully.
The problem was for me to help other people do their social media marketing, I have to get set up myself.
Right.
So, for the next few months, I'm going to be focusing on programming and learning graphic design completely. And I've already made some connections before with certified graphic designers, people that I went to college for. And I recently put together a group. They're like 20 year olds, they're all in college. And we were working on a project together where they were going to build a game. But they're all graphic designers. And right. They all know the field and whatnot. So pretty much I'm trying to get myself established first in order to reach out to other people. So that's kind of the stage I am now, just getting myself set up and make sure all my branding's there. And
how old are you?
14.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's awesome, man. So are you want to go through the academy or have you been through the academy?
No, I do not.
Do it. Okay.
So we've talked to your dad about this. We've sort of set him up a little bit here.
Yeah. So much fun.
Because that's the exact kind of stuff that it helps you with. So, yeah. Of course, your dad's pretty savvy at this stuff, too. So,
it's kind of one
you got a pretty good resource.
It really gives you the ins and outs of really understanding how much work you're going to have to do yeah. into it, though.
And those for you who are maybe new listeners or haven't heard this in a while, what Young Entrepreneurs Academy is, it is a 30-week program that takes you through A to Z on how to run a business. It is basically, in simple words, it is the dummy's guide for running up a business. I'm going to tell you that right now.
They just hold your hand and walk you through it all.
And towards the end.
Trust me, there are adults that still probably need to go through this academy. I'm serious. It's very true. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And, you know, and I mean, and as it goes on and on through the program, that hand starts to let go and you're starting to figure out things mm-hmm. for yourself. You're running in the brick walls and you're finding ways to get around them. You know, is things of that nature. I mean, you just. I can't describe it anymore. I mean, I went through it and that was my personal experience, but for you to fully enjoy the experience,
you got to go through it.
Well, I think the best part is, you know, you have to be super accountable, you know, it really tests yeah. your work ethic and then
you're showing up every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what you were supposed to have gotten done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every week, but you've got so much work to do outside of the class. And, you know, what's really interesting is that, after it's all said and done, you're working towards presenting it to an investor who actually mm-hmm. signs off to give you a check. You know, that's how you can start mm-hmm. your business and you find out how much money you need and you ask for it.
Right.
But you got to, you know, be able to put the
you
got to
have your ducks
pudding.
In a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do. Because the people that they pull from this community are, there's some big people out there. Yeah. You know, they have Robert Barnes, they got Pete Nowak, they have, so many other names that you could mention, but they're not only are they there to sort of intimidate you on that one night, but after that night is over, they're there to help you. I mean, I can, yeah. if I wanted to right now, I can call up several people and say, hey, I need help with this or hey, I need help with that. And they'll talk with you, or they'll even meet up with you later on and discuss those trials and tribulations that you may be having. Mm-hmm. And on that note, Tariq, have you ever experienced, I know you're not started up yet, but what are some difficulties that you have to overcome?
Being young has to be the main thing. And, you know, there's so much stuff that, especially with school, you know, sports and programming, gaming itself, I get really easily distracted, and there's so much stuff, you know, options that I have, and I'm not really sure where I want to go with this. But I feel like since I've kind of, you know, got myself down and I know what I want to do with this company, it's a good place for me to, you know, start learning how to stay focused on one task at one time. Because like I said, I started graphic design a while ago, and then I went to programming, and then I wanted to take gaming seriously at one point as well. And I've been kind of bouncing back and forth between what I really want to do. But with this, I feel it's a really good place for me to start.
Right. And I know this has had some effect on your social life at school, oh, yeah. You know, not being able to say, oh, yeah, we can hang on Saturday. You know, now it's like, yeah, I got to go take these classes and, you know, work on my
business. I got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but it really is a different experience from when one day you're just an average kid, you know, hanging out with your friends to saying, oh, yeah, I can't hang out. I got a meeting to go to. And people look at you differently. Some may be better than others, but
they call those prodigies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, at my school, you know, I've went from trying to be a social butterfly. Not going to lie. I was trying to go to every hangout, every event known to man. So now I have to say to myself,
I can't bake that many cupcakes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, or if I am going, oh, wait, did I remember my flyers?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, you know, it's just a whole different perspective on life now, you know, going from the social to the business part of it. And I'm sure you've also experienced time management. I mean, it's a huge thing in jumping around, because I know me for myself, although I'm running a business and I'm doing this show right now, and I mean, I've jumped from all over the place. I'm a grasshopper. I'm not going to lie. I'm in national society.
Yeah, entrepreneurial ADD.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a thing. It's a real thing.
I know.
The struggle is real.
And I'm struggling with it right now because I want to be in everything. You know, I'm in national society, science, national society, you know, academic team, FBLA. I mean, I can go on. And mm-hmm. I find myself saying there are 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
But yet, I feel like there's 48.
The guy that invents the 25th will be the next genius, I'll tell you that.
Trump gets elected, he might just do it.
He might just do that. Yeah, there you go. I'll tell you what, though, man. You were actually in, because you said age was one of your biggest things.
Yeah.
And Thomas and I have talked about this before. You're speaking in age because you have other things that you want to do as a childhood, and you should. Thomas had spoken about age in the sense that it was very hard for people to take him seriously very hard for him to approach people with a business idea or a concept, let alone ask for money.
Right.
You know,
right.
You are actually choosing an industry that is very, very open to the younger, brighter, because that's the video gaming world. It's always been there. It's the next 12-year-old kid that's like totally beat everybody's high score. You know what I mean? So, you better stay young. That's all I got to say.
And he's able to connect with.
You've got a pretty good, you're going to have a pretty cool platform that way. So think about that moving forward. People tend to be a little bit more responsive to you in that style of industry.
Right. Because I can't tell you how many times I've walked up to somebody who's 30, 40, 50 years old.
I still won't give Thomas money.
But I can't tell you how many times it's happened and they say, you're Thomas? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else am I? I'm not, you know, I'm not nobody else besides Thomas, you know. And like, okay, I feel intimidated right now. Go ahead and, you know, they look at you and they say, I feel intimidated, but, you know, I can look through them and saying, just go ahead and say what you're going to say. Because nine times.
Sometimes it's unexpected, though.
Right.
You know,
because some people, they walk up to me and like, oh, I know you're the cupcake guy, because I don't have the title of, you know, being Thomas anymore. I'm simply just a cupcake guy. People don't remember my name really well. Some people don't remember.
That might pay off later.
Yeah.
Right.
So I remember as a cupcake guy, other people were like, yeah, I know I had these cupcakes, but they didn't come from you, did they? Yeah, they did. You know, and so it's just a different aspect and a different take on when meeting new people and having the ability to network. Sometimes it's hard because when you're explaining your business idea on the inside, you're afraid, you know, as a business owner, as a young person, but when you get to know somebody and they finally tell you, I was more afraid of you than you were of me. And it's like, how does that happen? You know,
yeah.
You give them that look like,
But you're right, though. It's a different playing field for you guys. It really is. And you, I think about it because I'm immersed with doing this kind of stuff with you guys. But I couldn't imagine. At 14 years old, I was like skateboarding down the road, man, yeah. playing music with my friends. So
I get that a lot from my friends. They're like, you shouldn't be focusing on this stuff. And I feel like that I do. Like, I talked to someone recently. He was in college, and he recently dropped out. And he was telling me the fact that I am thinking about it now is really useful.
Yeah,
it's pretty much setting me up for when I am 18. You know, I'm not gonna worry about this thing. So I've already thinking about
it. I mean, everybody's got to have balance, man. But I'll tell you, some of these programs I don't think were available when I was your age. And if they were, I certainly just didn't know about them. But, man, there's time. I would have loved to gone back and got that head start, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So keep it up.
Because it provides connections. Like I said earlier, through networking.
It's your skills and stuff you guys learn.
Yeah, it just provides so many opportunities and so many doors. And not only that, it adds a lengthy resume when it comes to your college application.
Absolutely. Yeah, network extremely with helpful. People that, you know, that have nothing to do with your industry. You'd be surprised.
Who knows who.
Right, who knows who and the advice they can give you. And there's a bucket of knowledge.
You're here for experience, man. Go get it. Mm-hmm. Seriously. So we're getting to close to time here, Thomas.
Yeah, we are. It's been a wonderful discussion with these great group of people. It really has been. Thank you all so much for coming out and discussing your business and promoting it and simply chatting, you know. And that's the thing is most radio shows don't simply chat now. It's mostly a script you follow by it, you know.
I didn't pay him to say that either. That's awesome. Can I have that in writing in reviews on 4 of my social media sites, please? So, I'm going to call you when I need to beat my kids and because they're kicking my butt right now at Xbox. So, okay. Thomas, you want to take us out of here?
Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in to Young Entrepreneur Radio. This is the, fourth?
Sixth.
Sixth episode?
This is your sixth episode.
Wow.
I know. You have graduated to the half dozen league.
I have. Well, thank you so much. This is Young Entrepreneur Radio with your host, Thomas Booker, alongside with Keith Hovert.
Yeah, there you go. So all right, guys. We'll see you next time.